John chapter 1. Before I start, I'd like to say that I was speaking to a non-born-again Muslim, but he was also up on all the religions of the world. And I could see that he was a very struggling man because he did not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. But he knew the Word very well. He came along and we began talking and so on. And here's a question. I'm going to mention two questions this morning, what he had. But one was, after we talked, and we talked for a few hours, but one was, you serve a three-part God, three persons, and so on. I says, yeah, of course. That's I'm a Christian, and that's what we believe. Now, here's the question. He said, well, if you serve a three-part God, and one of them died on the cross, what were the other two doing? Have you ever thought about that? So with that question in mind, I'm going to explain that. It's actually very simple. But he knew the Word, only he did not know the spirit of the Word. He knew the letter of the law. And as Christians, we cannot just know the letter of the law. We got to go deep. We have to go in there with the spirit of truth. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was God. It's saying here that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. So if you want to know who made the world, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Verse 14. And the Word, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now let's flip over to 1 Corinthians. So we see that Jesus was with God in the beginning, and he came to earth. We know that Jesus was 100% God. We also can see that he was 100% man. And by the way, that answers the question. This guy could not understand, and he was an older guy, and he really knew the Word. He knew the stuff. But like I say, it was the letter of the law. It wasn't by the Spirit. So Jesus, we've seen that he was 100% God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That was him, unfortunately. And that was us before we became born again. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. No man who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord can judge you. Nothing like that can happen. Not in the Spirit anyway. But look at verse 16. It says, For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we do not have the mind of Christ based on his deity. He is the second person in the Trinity. He is God. But we all know that he took on the form of a man, and he became a man. And so as he walked in the flesh, he had a mind. That mind is the same mind that we get when we become born again. but we do not get his deity mind. We are not part of the Godhead. We are part of the family, and we have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ, but we do not have any part of his divine mind. But he couldn't understand that. So we began to move along. And another question that he had for me was, he said that I see in the Bible that there was more than one perfect man. I said, you know what? You got to get born again, because this stuff is dragging you down. You're looking at this, but you're not looking at in terms of in the Spirit. So let's turn to John chapter 9. Here's what it says, John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned. He took them words and he said, this guy never sinned either. You see how it can be deceived and twisted and perverted? He was saying, yes, I know Jesus never sinned, but he said, Jesus is saying here that this guy didn't sin either. So he's saying there's at least two perfect men in the Bible. And that's when I said, hey, you know what? You need to get born again. What they're talking about there is that they did not commit a sin to cause him to go blind. But he was born in a fallen world, a state of the first Adam. When the first Adam sinned and they fell, that nature this man inherited. We all inherited it, the first man, Adam, sin nature. It's not until we receive Christ, and there is no other way to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through me. And by the way, I just have to make a note of this. One thing about worship and praise, and I switched gears here, but one thing about worship and praise is that all of the things will leave from here, this earth, but worship and praise will go on forever. We need to learn how to worship and praise here. Number one. The second thing that's just coming to me is this. Is that for anyone who would think that healing is not for today and that sickness and disease is from God, then why didn't he put it on Adam and Eve if it's from God? Well, he never did. He made them perfect. Sickness has come later as the devil has taken it and trying to destroy us. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, of course. But he says, the other guy, Satan, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you go praying for your healing, like we had talked about a little earlier, remember that it is God's will. Don't let the enemy say, is it God's will? Well, you committed that sin. You did this. You weren't faithful there, whatever. Confess it and get on with it. And go for what the word says. So it was interesting about this guy because we began talking and so on, and there was a few other things. But the one that that I never heard of before was that if we serve a Godhead with three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What happened to Father and Holy Spirit when Jesus died? Well, the answer is that he is 100% God, John was saying, and he is 100% man. He took on the form of a man. He thought it not guilty. Philippians chapter, I think it's 2 verse 5. But he took on the form of a man, and he became exactly like what we are. He is the second man, Adam. So when we become born again, we become the second man within within Christ. Christ is first. He's the firstborn. So, we are the righteousness of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to look at the dispensation of this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the earthly Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says you have been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. So that's you. But look at the dispensation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Which tense is that? Is that future tense? That is past tense. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. Now the word salvation means deliverance, healing. It means salvation, of course. But it means safety. And it means a whole lot of other things, sound mind and so on. We are already blessed with that as a born-again believer. But the enemy has come along and he sold us a bill of goods, saying you're not good enough. Listen, the past failures, and we've all had past failures, let them go. It's time to let them go. God knew that you were going to fail long before he ever received you into his family. Let them go. The enemy wants to keep stirring them up. He's the accuser of the brethren. You might say, well, you don't know what I sinned. Maybe you feel you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Believe me, if you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be here today. You might have got angry and said, Lord, with all respect, shove this thing. It's too hard. I've walked with the Lord 38 years, and there's times, man, I felt like that. There's times when I was sick, I felt while I was on the bed, what is this all about? I can't even get off the bed. I can't do this. I can't do what I'm used to doing. I used to be a very strong man in a number of ways. But today I feel more alive than ever. I will never, I shouldn't say that, but I feel more alive than ever. I feel like I want to go forever and go stronger. And it's not about myself. I'm good. I want to take a little box and go stand in the corner and preach. If you ever hear somebody preaching on some corner with a box on the radio or on TV, they give you, that's me. I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think anymore. As long as I'm doing the right thing. If I'm not doing the right thing, I would appreciate people who care come to see me and say, look, if you bungee jump off that bridge with 150 feet of wire and it's only 50 feet down, you shouldn't do that. Hallelujah. So we serve a God who wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And again, when we pray in the Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. He will teach and guide us in all truth. If there's any deception, and there's a lot of deception out there, right now there's a preacher on TV. He's well known. You turn the TV on any Christian station, you're going to see him. Everybody's following after him. And the problem is, though, that he's mostly on, but he's about 10% off. And here's what it is. He's preaching the message of grace, and grace is right. We need that. Man, if there was no grace, we'd be cooked. But here's what he's saying. He's saying that when you come to Christ and you ask for forgiveness, that's it. You never have to ask for forgiveness again. And that's wrong. The Bible says if you sin, you know, you have to come to him and confess it. And he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you hurt your brother or sister, you have to do what the Word says. And the Word says go to him or go to her. Forgiveness is there, and bang, just like that, you can be forgiven. But you have to do the act. And so we need to be careful about what's out there. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to turn the switch on. And we need to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a heavenly language. It's not something that we make up. We don't make it up. The Lord said to Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, for you shall meditate in it, what? Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. To do all that is according in it. Then you'll have good success, and then you'll be prosperous. It doesn't just mean finances. We need to begin to learn how to confess. I know this morning I jumped over, but I didn't know I was preaching. But the thing is this, I'm telling you the truth. Watch what you're watching on TV. As I was in the U.S., I did turn on a well-known preacher. This is another one. You think I'm not talking about them. Man, there's a lot of good stuff down there. There's a reason that they're the head and leaders in Christianity. But this gentleman, who is well known again, was talking to, the message was coming and starting and coming into the funnel of it was on money. And again, it was about the curse. Now, do you really believe that if we don't give, we're under a curse? We can't be under a curse. When they said in Malachi chapter 3, and it talks about a curse there, verse 8, 9, and 10, and so on. That was the old covenant. It's the same as what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It was the law that said you must give a tenth. And so when they start on these scriptures, they always use the same ones. And their message is not bad. I just often wonder why they come to that part. They also say, too, if you give, and this one was asking for over $1,000 by 300 people or something, and it was to feed his ministry. And if you do, then God's going to do something very special back to you. If we as Christians took some of that stuff and said, okay, I'm going to give $1,000 because I'm going to get blessed 100-fold, well, where is my 100 grand? We should all be millionaires. Now, there's nothing wrong with tithing. Tithing is a word that means 10%. But there are people out there that don't understand. They say, hey, man, I want to do everything right, but it's a works gospel. I'm not saying don't give. We have to give. But we have to know what the Lord is telling us to give. And telling us what to give may hurt. And this is not leading up to the offering or anything like that. I'm just talking about the curse and what's out there. In John, 1 John chapter 2, it talks about deception. But he says that we have anointing and we know all things from Christ. We have that anointing. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. but we have to know that. We have to listen to that voice. The four ways God talks to us is one, through that inner witness. You might say, well, gee, I thought it was the Word of God. No, that's number two. Because number one is, if he's talking to you and you know you have to do something, you're not going to be able to flip to the Word in Ephesians chapter 2 and say, Mike, on this day, give that. Do this. But doctrine for correction, for reproof and so on, and to lead a life of strength and to grow, that's where the Word comes in. Third way is by voices. The fourth way is by visions and dreams. That's generally how God speaks to us. There are other ways, but they are the four main ways. Develop the inner man, and then when he begins to speak to you, you'll say, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. Because if we don't, we're going to go around the mountain. He loves us enough. He's not going to kick us out, but we need to learn. We need to grow. And I'll tell you why, and I'll close with this. The world needs us. The world needs us to be strong, though. And just think of John chapter 3, verse 16. It hasn't changed. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if God sent Jesus, and Jesus is sending us, because it says in 1 John that as he is, so are we to be in this world. We're supposed to be like Jesus. We have his mind. We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. He's given us time. Even if you're very busy, even if you're driving to work and it takes a long time, ask the Lord to help you to pray in the Spirit then. Father, we worship you today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God in you. And that, Lord, we are not under curse. We are redeemed. So, Father, I pray that you'll just go deep in our hearts and cause us to understand and to know that. Cause us to know, Lord, that in the whole package of salvation, that's ours. And part of it is healing. And Lord, sickness and disease is under the curse, but we are not under the curse. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that goes along with finances and lack. According to Deuteronomy chapter 61, chapter 28, poverty and lack is under a curse. But according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we have been redeemed from poverty and lack. So therefore, I confess that I do not have poverty and lack, but I am the head and not the tail. Thank you for your Word, O God. We bless your holy name.